Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Wrestle Culture. You put your all in, your all out, in, out, in, out, you book it all about. You get your Ruby Coley and your Danielson. That's what it's all about. Whoa, Adam Coley. Whoa, Ruby Sohi. Whoa, the goatee. All out huge pops wrestling.
Wow.
You promised me before this that that was your greatest song you've ever written, and you didn't disappoint.
I gotta be honest, when you started with, you put your all in. Yeah, I was like, this is the most labored end. Wow. You had us in that first half, not gonna lie.
I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Phil Chambers and Adam Cleary from What Culture to discuss all the goings-on in wrestling this week. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing,
Moses,
make sure you subscribe to
if
What Culture.
If you're a fan of this sort of thing, this specific sort of thing.
Daily wrestling podcast, we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete. With a bloody quiz, of course.
Ruby Coley.
Can't believe I went 18 months not doing these podcasts, man. No, yeah. That was miserable.
Right, here we are then.
I mean, you may as well end the podcast now. You've peaked. That's it. It's not going to get any better. Cut straight to the quiz. Cut the gap.
Oh, yeah. We have got something special coming on the way for the quiz as well. Not the quiz. The quiz is just box standard, but the fluff around it, basically. Anyway, Adam Cleary.
What?
Was... All Out the best pay-per-view ever?
No.
Okay.
I hate that you phrased the question that way, so I've got to answer in a negative. Mm-hmm. It was excellent. It was absolutely...
Is it the best AEW pay-per-view?
Yeah, God, the best they've done, absolutely. I think it's in the conversation. I'm going to get shouted after this. I think it's in the conversation to be top 10, potentially top 5 this century.
Okay.
I think it's, whether or not it is in either of those lists, I don't know, but I think it's certainly something that you would consider for both of them. Obviously, a huge amount of recency bias. Maybe as time goes on, it'll age better or worse. We don't know, but I can't remember the last time I sat through a pay-per-view for that long, never mind at that time of night, for that long, where there was no sag, there was no dip, there was no bloat, there was no, oh, I hope they get this over quickly. Even no BS Tall Paul versus Cutie Marshall was like... Class. It did exactly what it needed to do. It wasn't a 5 second squash, rendering it a pointless thing to happen. But at the same time, it ran its 2, 3, 4 minutes absolutely perfectly.
They also really desperately needed something exactly like that in that spot at that time, considering where it was on the card.
Exactly. Honestly, when it went past simply he is just going to run into the ring and choke, I was like, oh no, please, I can't. I don't want 10 minutes of this. But then a few minutes later, when everybody got like a little thing in, and then they finally wrapped it up, I was like, yep. Do you know what? That's what I needed. And I hate that that's the first match I'm specifically talking about. But it does go to illustrate, like, there was no wasted effort. There was no fat on this pay-per-view whatsoever, which for, what, 10 matches or something?
Uh-huh.
Is genuinely, like, astounding.
Yeah, me and Sidge previewed it last weekend, and I think we've always been excited about AEW pay-per-views for obvious reasons, and the fact they only four a year proper pay-per-view versions of what they put out. But every time Sidge sits here and says the 18-minute matches can go 12 minutes, and you look, the first three matches, Miro Eddie Kingston, which is a brilliant opening, which none of us really called to open the show, 13 minutes, Moxley Kojima, 12 minutes, and bloody, We all know what happened afterwards with Minoru Suzuki coming down. And Britt Baker versus Chris Statlander, 12 minutes effectively. The right sort of timings you needed for the show. And like Cleary said, Phil, three minutes, 10 seconds for Paul White was all you needed.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's definitely the best sort of laid out pay-per-view they've ever done. It's like, it's the one thing we've always complained about with AEW pay-per-views is just how goddamn long they are. But this one, I think it was like 3 hours and 50 minutes or something, not including the pre-show, obviously, which is that's a really good pay-per-view time. And for 10 matches, that's quite a lot of bang for your buck in that. And nothing felt overly long. Nothing felt like it was too short either. It was just everything was right. Everything had its own spot. Everything had its little moment on the card. And it just built and built and built and built to that thing that happened at the end, which I'm sure we're going to talk about, which was just absolutely incredible.
It was actually kind of a very trust the process layout, because if you'd sat me down at the start and said, Miro Eddie Kingston will open, I would have said, that's bad. If you'd said, Punk's going on here, I would have said, that's bad. If you'd said, Tall Paul versus Heatley's going on that late, I would have said, that's bad. If you'd said, they were going to put the Women's Battle Royal immediately after the cage match, I would have said, that's bad. And yet, it being in the moment with all of it, it worked perfectly. Like, it was a perfect opener. Tall Paul was in the perfect spot. The women actually, they weren't some cool-down match after the intensity of the cage. It was genuinely really different, really exciting. But the fact it was a battle royal meant that it had, like, it did give you that cool-down because of the pace, but then it built up to that really good ending. Like, I can't compliment the structure of that show more. I was just astounded with how well it worked.
Let's talk the cage match, though. One of the best tag team matches in history, feel like.
Yeah.
The fact that I'm there going, there's another really good tag team match that they've done. And that was the Young Bucks versus Page and Omega at Revolution. This was very different. But a friend of mine came over in the week and said she'd heard all the buzz about AEW off the back of this. And Brian Danielson, that's what I was going to say, not his old name. Cold, Soho, etc. And she said, oh, is it not like WWE, like PG then? And I went, I'll just put this match on for you. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. I could legitimately watch the Young Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers forever. Like, they just, every single time they go out there, they put on an incredible show. They have the best chemistry. Rey Fénix is absolutely insane and genuinely one of the best in-ring performers you could possibly hope to see. The way he was using the cage to just bounce off and things, like, just so innovative, and it was just non-stop action. It was insane. And yeah, the Bucks bringing back their bloody thumbtacks on the shoe that I've not seen. Have they brought that in AEW yet?
Or I haven't seen it in AEW.
Because it's Candice LeRae in PWG was the big famous one. And I don't know if they've done that
since. I don't think they've done it. No, I genuinely squealed during that. I actually shouted at the top of my lungs, they're juicing him like a papaya, like when they were smushing.
The way they built up the Bucks' shoes as well, to have this as the payoff to it all, is just absolute genius.
Also, let's give credit to the real star of this. What an arm on Brandon Cutler. First time he gets it over there.
Well, that doesn't impress me.
Oh. It's a tall cage. You've seen Mick Foley trying to throw chairs up.
A shoe is the perfect way to throw. Yeah. It's not heavy, but there's enough. I'd be more impressed if it was a sock. Because to get the whip on a sock to get that over a cage, very impressive.
A sock with thumbtacks on it.
Yeah, the thumb sock. You never seen a thumb sock?
Never.
No. Don't get it mixed up with your other ones. And yeah, but a shoe's a perfect way for that. I would genuinely think it'd be easy to throw a shoe clean over the cage.
That was the real tag title match.
Yeah, that was a real tag title match.
But honestly, one of the best tag team title matches I've ever seen. What did you make of Punk's 7.5-year absence? Couldn't tell, could you?
He looks bloody good.
Well, I would actually like to talk about this. Okay. I would like the attention now, please. Okay. In the moment, me and Andy both thought this was bad.
Okay.
Right. Not bad per se, but the card had such an energy to it and everything. We were like, okay, it's a slow start, but whatever. And I remember he turned to me about halfway through and went, this could really do with picking up a bit now. And we watched it, and the finish was excellent, but we thought, it felt like a very WWE match, if anything. It had a very nice, worked-out, planned finish, blah, blah, blah. And we went back through into the office, and the Michaels both had the pants off, right? And we were like, that was just genuinely one of the best matches we've ever seen. And we were like, what? Seriously? And they were genuinely, that was incredible, the way they played into the anxiety of everything. And if it had just been me, I would have been like, oh, well, clearly I'm wrong. But the fact it was Andy as well, I was like, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a divisive match. I don't know. And then we both watched it the next day, and it not being 3 o'clock in the morning, it is so apparent how brilliant that match is. Like, weirdly, normally we always say that the problem with streams is you watch them and you have such a good time watching them that you really overrate everything you've seen.
Yeah.
Like, I regarded that Melbourne show, WWE, as one of the best shows I'd ever watched. And then I came into the office. Because again, me and Andy had watched that. I think it was at mine. We watched it at mine because we were both off. We came into the office, like, that was really good, wasn't it? And it was like, you, both the Michaels, Phil, everyone just turned around with his face like a slapped ass. Like, no, it was terrible. Oh, well, maybe we just had a nice time. Like, normally the problem is the other way around. The pace of that show and sort of how much fun it was, I think, didn't really have us prepared for what they were going to do. But when you go and watch it back in isolation, you know, with fresh eyes, ironically, it's class. It's really good. It's so good. It's so, so good. It's
all the callbacks.
It's the kind of match you couldn't do anywhere else, really, at the minute.
Yeah, I couldn't get over the, so, you know, like you say, the fallout from it all.
The thing is, because the play isn't this idea that he was like maybe a bit gassed, maybe a bit rusty, maybe Darby Allin had the energy, the youth, or whatever on him. And they played into that. So the point where he did the sit-up, I remember remarking at the time, I was like, God, they cut that a bit. They cut that fine because there's not really much margin for error. But then we watch it back, you're like, yeah, they did cut that fine. That's exactly where they both wanted to be. It was like structurally so well put together. And then when everyone started sharing that gif around of the Bret Hart 1-2-3 kids takedown thing, and I was like, wow, okay, all right.
They're playing on a different level here.
It's one of those few things where even the bits of it I still don't like, I'm more inclined to believe that maybe I just don't get why that's good rather than I don't see it.
Let's talk Ruby Soho's arrival.
So happy for her.
She looked so happy. She looked so happy.
You love me. You really love me.
Oh my God. You actually popped. Thank God.
It was like the punk-esque reaction of just like, oh, I didn't realize what this was going to sound like, sort of thing.
And the people singing a song because they'd already seen it from the vignettes that she put out on Twitter and stuff. Fantastic.
So good.
She just looked so happy. It was just so nice.
And the Dudleys have pointed this out. Obviously, the right person to win that Battle Royal, although I do like the story they sort of led into this on Dynamite of Thunder Rosa being heartbroken and being so close, and Nyla Rose getting a bit of shine, Jade Cargill getting a bit of something in there as well. They might have actually found someone that Britt Baker can actually be a heel against.
Yeah, and she's going all in with it on Dynamite and stuff as well. And I like the idea of putting Ruby Soho against like Jamie Hayter, and then I guess she'll probably get...
There's a trios match tonight.
And like go through them before she actually gets to Britt. And then you've, like you say, got the thing that you can go back to with Thunder Rosa at any point. Like, there's loads of ways that you can build out of this, and all of it is elevating everyone involved. And I really, really like that. And just using this new person to shine a light on the division again and sort of get a few more eyes on it.
And as you sort of alluded to, God, she's been so underutilized for so many years.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong. I'm never going to sit here and be like, oh, the poor WWE superstars getting to travel the world and perform in front of millions, doing what they love, collecting millions of dollars a year. Like, I'm never going to, I don't think they're all like, you know, trapped, or I've only got a certain amount of sympathy, but you can see certain people, there's creative things that have gone so unfulfilled, and it's not because they're happy to sit there and just take the money. It's because they've tried their best and they've come up against brick walls, locked doors, and, you know, I'm sure in Ruby Riott's case, glass ceilings. And then to see her get there, name change, new music, but it's still her, and it's still all this creativity and all the things she must have been frustrated about for so long. Because you got to remember, like, she was in NXT back when there was this really clear progressional path that started with Paige, gone through the Four Horsewomen, then Asuka had done it, where it was like, look, there is a top of this division, you can have a nice long title run, critically acclaimed matches, and then when you go at the main roster, the women's division isn't actually a total mess. Like, there are, you can go and then go work Charlotte at WrestleMania and have this big match. You can go and do this, you can go and do that. They're going to give you the right spots. And then they just started taking shortcuts with it. And it was like, right, Asuka left, and it was, okay, who have you got left? You got Nikki Cross, you've got Ruby Riott, you've got a couple others. Mm. So one of these is going to, there's a new little group forming. From there, someone's going to rise to the top, and you get this. And they didn't do it. They called loads of them up straight away. Liv Morgan got called up, Mandy Rose got called up, Ruby Riott got called up, and they just flooded, because the Women's Royal Rumble was happening for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
They flooded the women's roster on the main roster. And she missed what would have been the most creatively fulfilling years of her career at that point. Like, she'd worked the indie, she'd got to NXT, she was now going to work a creatively lauded brand, having really good pay-per-view matches against other women who are at the top of their game as well. And then if she went to the main roster and was made to rot, it wouldn't be the end of the world. You know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of happens. But she didn't get that. Like, where was Ruby's, like, where was her singles NXT TakeOver match? I think she had one with Asuka, but it was, like, middle of the card, and it was clearly built to something else down the line. Where was her title run? Where was her time on the top of the mountain? It never happened. She went up there, got to cut some poor lad's tie in half, do a table match with Natalya, which was the most tasteless thing anyone's ever seen in their lives, and that's it. And that is it. And you could just see all of that coming off her shoulders. Like, the same way that like Punk's face when he first came out. Yeah. The anxiety he must have felt like, maybe I'm going to come out there and it's not going to be right. Maybe the crowd reaction's not going to be what we thought it was going to be. Maybe I haven't missed it as much as I thought I did. And you could see when he came out, he was like, oh, actually. Like, again, the Moxie thing, when he first came out, he was breathing in the crowd. Like, I'd never forget that. You could see the joy on her face of, like, they know who I am. They know what I can do. They are delighted that I am here. And I know I've got the backing of the people who've hired me.
Everything's going to be okay. Go and do. It's
the
fine.
This is the thing. Even if it's not, even if she doesn't go and have an amazing run in AEW, let's say they do the Baker match, it isn't great, she falls down the card, she struggles to find herself something to do. It's not because they just don't believe in her.
Mm.
You know what I mean? These wrestlers are now going to get the opportunity to try and fail rather than just not getting the opportunity to try. And I think, like, it sounds weird, but I think genuinely that's the big selling point. And that's why you see that. Like, okay, now I sink or swim on my own merits. And I believe in myself, and they believe in me, and the crowd believe in me. So, yeah, let's do it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's not going to work for every wrestler. We've seen Brian Cage this week. Hasn't worked. There'll be other wrestlers in the future. Hasn't worked. I'm willing to bet that one of the big signings they've made in the last couple of months, one of them won't click.
Mm-hmm.
But not for lack of trying. Not because they're not doing the things they really believe in. Not because they're not getting a chance to express themselves as pro wrestlers. That's just how it is.
Speaking about, like, expressing yourself as well, I really like how, like, she's only been on two shows in AEW already, but they've accentuated how different she is to everyone else already. Like, you have Ruby Riott on WWE. She is completely different to every other women's wrestler they have ever had in that company. Instantly sellable, like, completely new, completely fresh, and they put her in the Riott squad and make the other two people that she's with kind of dress a little bit like her. And
also,
like,
not entirely.
Yeah, and kind of get rid of all of that individuality. And yet, here, like, through her own making as well, like, through AEW, like, getting the Rancid song and the, like, Destination Unknown vignettes and things that she's done, she's accentuated everything that makes her individual. And at the end of that Casino Royale, you have her and Thunder Rosa, two of the most, like, individual women wrestlers on the planet, like, staring off at each other. And they're both got incredibly strong selling points but are completely different to each other. And it's like, why did you never just accentuate these positives that is, you know, so different to everyone else?
You compare that. I mean, look, again, I don't ever want these podcasts to be just like, oh, just us ragging on WWE, but the contrast in how they've used these people, I think, is very, very relevant. Like, Ruby's most prominent feud on the main roster was probably the Natalya one, purely because of how much attention it got from how tasteless it was.
Daddy's crying again.
But this is the thing, right? Probably on that roster, Natalya's probably one of the most, like, you know, in terms of personality and the way they present themselves, probably one of the most different from Ruby Riott in the company.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she's very, she has cat ears. You know what I mean? Like, Ruby Riott's a punk rocker. There was a lot you could have done with the contrast there, and yet the matches, what happened to them?
They just had a dad on a table.
A dad on a table. Like, I don't remember. I never felt at any stage that, like, oh, this is. So Ruby Riott, some hard kicking lass from the Indies, and Natalya is this, like, you know, second generation WWE superstar. That should be a great match. They did a tables match when nothing happened. Like, it's just
Ruby hasn't been handed everything because of family connections.
Yeah, there's a great story.
Easy story to tell. Yeah,
but they didn't do that. They just did that. Like, oh, Natalya's dead. Dad has died. Let's just make fun of that. Mm-hmm. Like, just again. So yeah, is she going to be a major success in AEW? I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea at all. But I'm excited to see them try.
Mm.
I'm excited to see where it goes.
Of course, she wasn't the only debut at All Out. We mentioned Minoru Suzuki.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't mind saying this before we move on. I don't mind saying this. She was my favorite debut at All Out.
That's
genuinely was.
It was
like, look,
fair.
Adam Cole came out and was Adam Cole, right? Daniel Bryan came out and was Bryan Danielson,
yes,
right? Ruby Riott came out and was Ruby Soho. And Ruby Soho is so different to Ruby Riott.
And I think that's why you're comparing it to, not just because of the look on her face, but the CM Punk thing of, like, I left wrestling many years ago, and now I've returned to wrestling because I can actually do what I want.
Physically see that weight being lifted off the shoulders as they walk out.
Yeah. It's different between her and Punk and Brian and Cole, because like, although we've made fun of all the plans they had for Cole on the main roster, he has just pretty much been the face of a really successful television brand for years now.
Yeah,
he's put how many like 4- and 5-star matches on and takeovers. The guy's had a really good run. You know what I mean? He's elevated himself way above where he was when he started. You know what I mean? And Brian has been a multi-time world champion.
Main evented WrestleMania this year.
Yeah. Main evented WrestleMania. Probably has the most iconic WWE moment of the last 15 years. They certainly haven't been hard done by in that company. Yes, again, maybe creatively stifled. Maybe not doing exactly what they wanted to do. But they're certainly not somebody who's like, they didn't rot in the mid-card. Yeah.
Neither of them have a massive chip on their shoulder coming out of WWE, really.
Exactly. Whereas like, you know, Punk fell out all over wrestling for, you know, nearly a decade over how he was handled in that company. He didn't get his WrestleMania main event. He didn't really get to be the face of a television brand for years and years and years and have critically acclaimed matches after critically acclaimed matches. And again, like Ruby Soho got to cut some ties in half and make fun of a friend's dead father on television.
Yeah, less, more, very more. You mentioned it there. I want to talk about it very quickly here, Phil. WWE's attempts to get Adam Cole to stay.
Hey!
You didn't know about this. Long story short, they pitched him presumably the same money as he was going to get in AEW, where he's also going to work with his best mates and his missus.
Yeah.
But he was going to be a manager for a heel Keith Lee, just like Leo Rush did for Bobby Lashley. And, you know, nothing against Leo Rush. Hopefully, you know, we're reporting it today. Maybe he's going to be returning to wrestling. We think he's insanely talented as a mouthpiece and as a wrestler. You can't do that to Adam Cole.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Would love to be a fly on the wall just to see the micro expressions on Adam Cole's face as he was listening to Vince McMahon tell him this story.
I'm sorry. In the interest of balance here, right, you're not reporting this fully. He was also offered a run with the Intercontinental Championship and a match with Roman Reigns at a pay-per-view. That was also on the table.
Must have been a tough call.
It's just another thing of WWE being so far off the mark. They're not even playing the same game. They're not even aiming at the same thing. It's, don't understand how you get to that point.
What did you think of Cole's?
He's just short. Vince McMahon has seen that meme that the person did about Adam Cole's height.
With Zack Sabre Jr.
No.
The last short guys I pushed with Punk, look what happened then. Brian, he's just left me. Get rid of all of the short people.
What do you think of Cole's arrival and the nice tease?
Absolutely
and then,
brilliant. I loved it how they teased that he was going to be against them and then joined them. Just the moment of the Adam Cole baby. And
again,
every single one of the people in that crowd doing the Adam Cole baby.
I need to point this out if people haven't spotted this yet or seen the video. And if you could all take it upon yourselves, by the way, to please tweet Andy Murray and tell him what a good spot this was. Because I don't think he's had anywhere near enough credit for this. We were obviously like losing our minds, thinking, oh my God, Cole versus Omega, that's like going to be class. And as he stepped into the ring, Andy did the Jamie Carragher Thierry Henry bit on me and went, he's wearing Jordans. And I went, what? He went, he's wearing Jordans. He's literally got a pair of Jordans on the same as all the rest of them. And I went, it's a swerve. He went, it's a swerve. He's got Jordans on. And lo and behold, it was a swerve.
Yeah.
Didn't he come out of the heel tunnel as well?
Yeah, he came out the heel tunnel.
Oh, good. But that's the crowd.
No, I didn't even pay any attention to that at the moment. I was just like, Adam Cole. And then the swerve, like you say, I probably should have seen it coming with the Jordans and the...
Yeah. Genuinely, as a serious request, by the way, if you'd like to make all three of us happy, could you please tweet Andy H. Murray and tell him what a great spot the Jordans were, because I don't think you got anywhere near enough credit for it.
Yeah, that is good. I will say, like, these debuts recently, like Punk, Ruby Soho, and the Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole one, like, I don't think I've been back and rewatched wrestling as many times as I have over the last couple of
weeks. Absolutely, yeah.
Like, I've been back to them so many times. I think probably the Punk one still the most.
Yes.
That crowd reaction is insane. But just every time you sit there and it's immediate goosebumps and it's just, this is absolutely, it's just such, like, excitement for wrestling again. And it's like, it's there, it's at the peak and the crowd are just buying into everything they're given. And I just love it.
And the end of that pay-per-view is the cherry on the icing on the cake, because you go, we all sat there going, well, it'd be nice if we get Ruby Soho, Ruby Riott.
Yeah.
We're all expecting Bryan Danielson because of the reports and the Rona and Arthur Ashe and blah, blah, blah. And we're like, we'll get Cole eventually. And then Cole comes out. You already got Ruby Soho. You already got Minoru Bloody Suzuki.
Yeah.
And you go,
And the Butcher.
And the Butcher. oh, we're not getting Brian. I mean, I'm okay with not getting Brian. And then you get that as well.
I actually genuinely thought, I was like, that's actually smart because they're going to do Brian on Dynamite. They'll do Brian on Dynamite as like a follow-up to this, and that's how you basically set the stall out of like, yes, the pay-per-views have these big moments, but you do actually need to watch the TV to see everything. Oh, that's genuinely really good booking in my... Oh my God, it's Daniel Bryan!
And it turns out they don't need debuts on Dynamite to get the TV ratings because they did that anyway. Oh,
second most watched Dynamite ever after the first ever Dynamite, yeah. Which obviously is going to get, you know, quite a few eyes on it anyway. Bonkers.
What do you think of Brian's music?
Love it. Oh my God, I absolutely love it. Love it.
It was good, and then it got so much better.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, okay, we all know what this, Flight of the Valkyries. And then I was like, wait a second, are they doing the keep heading stuff?
Yeah. I really, because it immediately pinpoints the change in his character from what he was in WWE as well. It makes it, separates it, it's recognizable, but separates it instantly. And then when he went on the bloody after show, Punk,
Effin and Jeffin all over the place,
and he's just talking about like, Punk's here to elevate everyone, I'm just here to kick everyone's head in. It's like, yes, this is gonna be so much fun.
I'm not sure if you two were in the office that morning when we were sat there chatting about the fact that, you know, AEW for a t-shirt company is doing pretty well, and they've got a varied selection of t-shirts. Like, say the new 2.0 one looks fantastic. Excellent. Go and buy them, go and support the boys. But we were saying, I think after like the Punk one, which obviously just, you know, rocketed to the top of the charts, I was like, Daniel Bryan makes me want to buy just a white t-shirt because he wears it so bloody well.
I will say,
at least it'll be organic.
Yeah.
just to forewarn you, you'll not look like that.
No. I look more like Sad Corbin.
I don't want to say, I wasn't going to say this, but there is an analogy that's been in my head all week about what we saw it all out. And I just think it's worth putting out there.
Okay.
Right. For anybody who likes soccer ball or football, right? Getting these big pops, these big debuts, returns, heel turns, you're shocked with these definable moments, right? They are the equivalent in wrestling of scoring a 35-yard screamer, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're incredible. They're supposed to be unpredictable. They're why you watch it in the first place, right? You don't win things or stay in divisions. You're not successful if you have to rely upon your team scoring 35-yard screamers, right? Now, I've had the greatest time the last 7 days. Go back to, 10, 15 days for Punk. Probably close to 3 weeks now for Punk, aren't we? I've had a fantastic time. They've made me feel things with pro wrestling, which I haven't felt, honestly, for years and years. But that is not what they can build a company around. They can't debut Bryan Danielson every 6 months. They can't bring in a CM Punk every 6 months. They certainly can't bring a Daniel Bryan, a CM Punk, an Adam Cole, and a Ruby Soho in every pay-per-view, right? The real battle for them now, they've done that, they've got everybody's attention.
They've popped their massive rating.
Is they now have to translate that into loyal, like, dependable. Like, you look how bad WWE treats their audience, how little they think of them, how bad they've made the product, and they don't dip below where they are now. They don't dip below where AEW are now at their, like, what feels like a real peak, a moment for them.
Mm.
They need to turn that into, like, a million strong people who will watch when it's bad. And they need to do that in the next 12 months while they've got this momentum.
And, arguably, they've done the first step on the road to that, because we talked about this in the news this morning. Often, when they would do huge dynamites, whether it be immediately after some mad show that they've put on because they're not putting a pay-per-view on for another few months, or after the back of a huge pay-per-view, the show's always a bit, there was just something not quite there about it. Either sagged, or it didn't have a great main event, or it didn't have a good hook to make you watch the next week.
A lot of times it's kind of impenetrable of trying to catch up with storylines. Like, if you're going in blind, like, especially with a lot of the stuff that happens on Dark and Dark Elevation that then gets moved across, like, a lot of it's just thrown into your face, and you're like, where's the explanation?
I will say that's the one thing I think AEW currently struggle with. It's being able to just turn on and watch an entertaining show. Like, don't get me wrong, it rewards the dedicated audience massively. Gotcha. The stories are so deep and well put together. Like, the whole Adam Page thing is incredible. But can you... Like,
it's still going on even without Adam Page on TV.
But if you're one of these people who's just seen Bryan Danielson and just seen Adam Cole and just seen CM Punk and you're tuning in now, how on earth do you pick that up? Like, they do need to get a couple of these, like, 1-2 week... Like, I remember when you were a kid and you could flick on Raw, you roughly knew who everybody was. Didn't matter, because they just made you believe that there were just bad people and whatever. But, like, I think they're on the road to doing that. I'm not saying that because I'm saying like, oh, it's actually nothing. They've not done anything yet. They've not done the hard part yet. Until they get a million idiots to refuse to turn off the channel when they suck, they've not achieved anything. I just think to sort of like, because all the tweets we've had this week, oh, I guess that's WWE dead then. No.
No.
Like, WWE are more than capable of putting on stuff as good as AEW have. They can't. That's what's so frustrating about them. They've got the talent. They've got the ability to do things that well. And if WWE was doing this well, they'd have 3-4 million viewers. That's
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah.
AEW, if they have 2 or 3 months where the television sucks and the matches are terrible and nothing makes any sense, what would they drop down to?
Mm. Oh, you mean you guys? You'd have to assume back down to the sort of 700,000 or 800,000.
It's still good then. That was the thing.
Yeah,
it wasn't great,
maybe
but still
I'm,
good.
Yeah, maybe I'm
like nobody tunes in like and hates what they see. Whereas a lot of people still, because they love WWE as a company, they love what the memories they've had, they believe in what all the talent can do, they know that it could be good in the future, they still tune in the hope that maybe this week might be fine. And they do that in their millions.
Yeah.
So the challenge for AEW the next 12 months is to just build that hardcore audience, make sure that that number, the bottom number they can have, is what goes up. Not the number they can pop when they do the biggest show they've ever done. That's great, but that's not your long-term. The number that you want to look at is, all right, when we're 3 weeks out of a pay-per-view and 3 weeks till the other one and nothing's really going on, who's tuning in then? And if that number goes up, if that starts creeping around a million, then this has all been worth it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, before we get to this week's bloody good quiz, we have to talk about, potentially, Phil, yet another WWE departure. One Kevin Owens, or some people may remember him, Kevin Steen. Looks like he's heading out the door as well.
Yeah. Another one contracts up in, was it December or January?
January. I think, yeah.
Did someone clear this up for me? I remember literally doing the news video where he'd signed a 5-year contract like 2 years
ago. That got changed.
Yes, during the pandemic, they renegotiated it and shortened it up, basically. He's one of the very few people who they used to say, you know, like, well, your contract's 5 years, but you've been injured for a year. That's what it is now, basically. This one was presumably renegotiated at some point during the pandemic.
So to make it easier for them to potentially get rid of him?
I assume so.
Is it a future cost-cutting measure? Like, getting something on the books so, like, in a few years, then we can cut this cost?
Yeah, because it was 2018 to 2023, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
He was going to be there for something like that. And now it's January 2022. Sami Zayn was rumoured. I'm not sure that's the case anymore.
Not sure. Still,
I think that's injury-related again, sort of shenanigans and that, but... Yeah.
God, if they ended up with Steen and El Generico.
Well, we did a podcast. I'm just going to shield for myself here for a second. We did a podcast this week. Me and Sig and Andy Murray talking about the people to jump from WWE to AEW. And almost all of them, probably. You know, aside from your Roman Reigns and your Seth Rollins and your Becky Lynch's, who are really looked after. There's an argument to be made for a lot of people. We didn't even have time to mention someone like a Chad Gable, for example. But yeah, Owens and Zayn were the top two.
Owens is an interesting one because he's not been shy about saying, like, he does this for his family. Like, at this point, it's not necessarily for him. It's for creating this life for his family for the future. Where does he see the most longevity? Where does he see the most money? I mean, AEW has infinite pockets, it seems, so it could still work out going over to there, but it's a little bit more uncertain. But then maybe he's already probably made way more than enough money in WWE for the rest of his life, so now he can have the thing freedom is, to go and do something
well,
over
when,
in AEW.
When a wrestler says they're doing it for their family, I don't think they 100% mean money. Like, yeah. You know, Kevin Owens is a man who's had a career which has not been kind on his body.
No,
you know what
God,
I mean?
No.
His time before he got to WWE was brutal. He's never been shy of doing the really big spots. He's been on the house show circuit near constantly. You know, he's barely missed any time with injury. I know he's been out once or twice.
There is literally no one here, Kevin. I'm going to jump off the WrestleMania side.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there is a degree of, yeah, he does want to get some money in the bank, so he knows that his kids will be fine, that he knows that whatever happens. But also,
his pieces can have pineapple on it.
Yeah. I'm not going to get it. He deserves everything he gets in that case. But like, you also, you know, as much as you want to send these kids to college, you do also want to be able to like go and enjoy your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and the sad fact is, not a lot of wrestlers really get to do that past a certain age. So if it gets to it, WWE might turn around and go, look, we'll give you the easiest job in the world. You can do a couple of shows a week. Here's another $4 million.
Yeah.
You go to AEW.
Jump on commentary.
Yeah, jump on commentary. Like, you go to AEW and he's going to want to do his art. You know what I mean? He's going to want to go. He's not going to want to go to AEW.
He's another very creative guy. So that's also, it's like a lot of these people that are jumping ship, it's a lot to do with the creative and not necessarily the money. And he is definitely a creative based guy.
And they
like,
do work
more
with
so Sami Zayn.
A fair bit. Like, he can make chicken salad out of, you know, the face of America or whatever it was that he did for a bit. But they do seem now a lot more to be like, no, I get it now.
He's one of their go-to guys as well. Yeah. Like if they need someone to fill a spot for a month, Kevin Owens. Like, just jump in, elevate him for a bit, and then forget about him for a while.
Bend towards Kevin Owens versus Logan Paul at some point, let's not forget, considering what happened on SmackDown last week. I think WWE will and should, as I said, with Adam Cole, try everything to keep him, especially off the back of this. But it might be too late.
I would love to see him go to AEW, absolutely. But I think it's a far more complicated case. It's more than just simply he will be able to do better matches in AEW. I think there'll be a lot of different considerations for him.
Yeah.
And also, I will say, I don't think they should get any big WWE names for a good long while now. Like, they've had a good run with this. You know, they, like Bryan even really paid tribute to like the guys who were here first. I know Jericho was one of them, but by and large, it wasn't really a particularly WWE heavy. Or certainly, I hate when people call people ex-WWE guys because they've been around the world before this. But the reason they get that tag is because to the vast majority of wrestling fans, they're mostly familiar with their work in WWE, some of these people. So when they got Miro, when they got Hardy, when they got that sort of like that mid-card pickup selection, they still built their main events around Adam Page, Kenny Omega, the Bucks were there, Lucha Brothers were there. Like they were. It did not feel like a company that was WWE heavy. Now, you know, Punk's not going to be, you know, three matches from the main event for long.
Bryan is straight into the main event
with Kenny Omega. Ruby Soho's going straight in with Britt Baker. I think, you know, they need to let that settle for a while. I'm not saying they should never go there for talent, because the amount of talent that's not being used is extraordinary, and the criticism of it's just WWE guys is stupid anyway. But optics do count. The optics are important. So I think when was it, February, people think for Owens?
I mean, yeah, I don't know how it will work.
I would personally, and I'm not telling Tony,
there won't be a no compete either, because it'll be
compact.
I'm not telling Tony Khan how to run his business. Obviously, that works. He tells us what to do.
He
tells us.
Nice watch, by the way.
Thank you. It's so airy. But yeah, I just personally, if it was me running AEW, I was a billionaire running my wrestling promotion, I'd let it sit for a while.
Finally, this week saw the last episode of the old NXT.
How have you resisted using that for so long?
I've started getting into this week.
I saw you playing with the buttons before.
Yeah. How do you feel about this all as the former head of NXT?
former head of NXT.
Yes, former head of NXT coverage. And how are you feeling about next week and the new colourful relaunch with a wedding?
I really want to get the quiz, so I'm going to have to keep this succinct. I am saddened by how WWE have used NXT since the start of the whole Wednesday Night War thing. I think there was a really good product there that probably admittedly did need a bit of a refresh at that point. It had been going for a while. There was a very established NXT style. Everybody was sort of familiar with the formula. Performers will come through. They'll move to the main roster after they've had this run, that run, or the other. Very rarely did you see them just pluck somebody straight out of the mid-card on there. But then they weaponized it. They tried to use it to damage a competitor's product. They tried to make it something that it wasn't, whilst at the same time not allowing it necessarily to evolve in the ways it needed to be that. So it ended up still being developmental for them, whilst also being presented as a brand on equal footing as Raw and SmackDown, whilst at the same time being a competitor product to the new and exciting show. It was all three of these things at once, and you can't be all three of those, because you either you're developmental or you're the main roster. And you're either like part of the WWE family or you're going up against AEW. And you're either going up against AEW or you're a developmental show. You don't, you can't be all of these things. And they refuse to let it find its actual niche. So it hasn't had one for 2 years, and the views have plummeted, and the it's a mess. It needs a complete redoing from the ground up, which is hopefully what this is going to be. So I'm hopeful. What is this smirk you've on your face?
I'm just going to say, I was going to ask Phil, because you don't presumably watch that much NXT now. You don't do ups and downs for it. You know, it's...
Sorry, your finger was hovering over your laptop. You had a little smirk, and I was he's going to do something.
He's just excited
here.
For later.
I've got something to come,
he's going to do something here.
Phil, you know, you don't really watch NXT aside from the takeovers now. Are you going to watch on Tuesday next week, for example?
100%. I am so incredibly excited for Vince McMahon to walk out and go, I am NXT. No, in all seriousness, I am
not saying it like that, though, William.
I'm NXT.
He does sound like more like a bad impression of Richard Nixon with every passing year, doesn't he?
He's not a crook, so you know.
Yeah. But no, I am genuinely more excited about this episode of NXT than I have been for a long time. Probably not for the right reasons.
Mm.
I think it's more like a morbid curiosity, like going past a car wreck kind of thing, and a wedding. Of course, who doesn't love a wrestling wedding?
I think you're going to beat Dynamite, SmackDown, and Raw combined.
Yes, but I have fallen out of love with NXT in the recent years. And so, I'm ready for something to reignite it. Just anything, whatever it is. I'm also incredibly interested in Vince McMahon's idea of NXT.
Yes. Colourful, bright.
I'm incredibly interested in what Vince McMahon's idea for NXT is, but I want that as a one-off.
Yeah,
like I want it to go back to NXT the week after. I don't want like
when they did In Your House, just one thing. Oh, that was nice.
Because you know what, like,
my God, they could get Todd Pettingill back though, and if he does that, then he's already won in my eyes.
Yeah, but you realize what's going to happen, don't you? It's the wedding, right? The week after, they'll not be married anymore. They'll not even be on screen together.
Yeah.
Did Noam Dar and Alicia Fox die for nothing?
Did they even make any money off the TV deal for NXT? Can they not just show it back on Peacock and get it back to what it's supposed to be?
Who knows? Anyway, let us know your thoughts on everything we've discussed at What Culture WWE on Twitter.
No.
Enough of all this. It's now time for a
Bloody Good Quiz.
The problem with that is, and no one at home will realise your excitement about that moment.
No, I'll pull back the curtain slightly here. For the last forever, whenever we've done that before, it sounds in the studio like this. Enough of all that, it's now time for a... And this week's quiz is... And then I'll just put it in post. This time, I've actually got it on a little...
Got his buttons.
What are you going to do with the time that's saving you across the week? Because it is... As you know, it is everybody's, like, quarterly review meeting next week. And
well, you'll be pleased to know, bosses, if you're listening, this is going to be loaded with different sound effects every single goddamn week. So there you go. I've only got a few this week. I was running short on time, but... I've changed it. Anyway, this week's Bloody Good Quiz is brought to you by Aaron Merkel, Big Money Merkel, as you may know him from our live streams, who left us a lovely review on iTunes. If you want your name associated with the hashtag Bloody Good Quiz, that's what you need to do. Subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, leave us a review on there. Aaron writes, thank you, lads, for the endless laughs and the legendary hours of entertainment. So anyway, this week's quiz, 10 questions, multiple choice, shout your name, wait for me to come to your usual sort of thing. It's just for fun. It's all about wrestling gimmicks. Particularly bad wrestling gimmicks.
What have we done buying you this?
Create a monster over here. Anyway, bad wrestling gimmicks. 10 questions.
Nobody wants to see Marshall no more.
Okay, right. Are you both ready?
What a deep pull.
Okay, question number one. What problem did Matt Morgan have when he was Carlito's bodyguard in WWE? Was it?
Allergic to apples?
He was scared of pyro, he had a stutter, he was scared of heights, or he was allergic to apples?
Is that actually what you were 100%
written down? I can't show you, but yes.
I'll give you that one.
Is it allergic to marbles?
No, dear, that's wrong.
Right, so I said I didn't have much time. I literally downloaded the first no sound effects I could find, and it's this lovely lady saying...
No, dear, that's wrong.
Phil, oh, your options are scared of pyro, scared of heights, or he had a stutter.
I don't think it's scared of pyro. Did Colito have pyro? That doesn't make sense. I remember Kurt Angle being scared of his own pyro. That was a one-off.
Eric Young was, wasn't he? He's wrong, TNA.
Stutter thing... Sounds very them, big guy. Oh, he must be stupid, give him a stutter. But they've done that a lot.
I'm still laughing at that no thing.
So I'm going to go with the other one.
Scared of heights.
No, dear, that's the wrong.
Was it a stutter?
It was a stutter.
Of course it was.
Because they went, Bubba, it went for Bubba Ray. Yeah. Just do it again. Okay, question.
Hey, guys, I know that being allergic to apples would qualify as a medical condition, but do we not think maybe a stutter is like a, that's more of a handicap than something being a gimmick? No, it seems fine. It's actually pretty funny when you think about it. Sorry, guys. I mean, when you think about it. Every WWE creative meeting in the 2000s was like... They've all gone to hell, haven't they?
100%. Question two. Which ECW legend played an evil Santa called Santa Claus, spelled with an X, in 90s WWF? He was hired by, I believe, Ted DiBiase. Was it Tommy Dreamer, Balls Mahoney, Just Incredible, or Rhino?
Phil. I had the Blue Meanie in my head because I could just see that one. I'll go with Balls Mahoney.
Yay!
Oh.
That's weird.
The correct answer. It just says yay on my thing. I apologize.
Yay.mp4.
Right. Question three, 1-0 to Phil. This is as you're looking at, no, as they would experience of it. So this is their left. This is not the way you're looking at them. Okay. It'll all become clear in a second. On which side of Gillian Hall's face was the disgusting growth / mole?
Adam, right.
No, dear.
No, I like those. I'm like, Phil, left.
Yay! Oh.
2-0. Question four.
I'm struggling here.
Who did this Spirit Squad win the tag titles from? Was it the Hurricane and Rosie, Ric Flair and Roddy Piper, Kane and Big Show, or John Cena and Shawn Michaels?
God, I really hope it's John Cena and Shawn Michaels.
Oh, God. Phil, why not? What were the answers?
Hurricane and Rosie, Ric Flair and Roddy Piper, Kane and Big Show, or John Cena and Shawn Michaels?
It's between two. I'm going to go with the Hurricane and Rosie.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Fucking over how droll that is. Can I have those again, please, Adam?
Ric Flair and Roddy Piper, Kane and Big Show, or John Cena and Shawn Michaels?
They're all funny, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're either beat up two old guys, beat up two tall guys, or beat up two, like, main event. Mm-hmm. That's really funny. What did you go with?
Hurricane and Rosie.
It's a boring answer, man. But it's about gimmicks.
It's like, everyone likes them. That's beaten by the evil cheerleaders.
Yeah, this is a quiz about gimmicks, isn't it? What have you got the Spirit Squad in it for?
They're a dreadful gimmick of cheerleaders. And look at how that helped all of them. I don't know how Dolph Ziggler survived. Honestly, I mean, he's given...
Really impressive.
He gets the racist golfer's caddy, Kerwin White. I avoided Kerwin White. Also, I was searching for bad gimmicks. Stop saying that Repo Man's a bad gimmick. Okay, Miller's going to come after you if that happens. So he has that, and then they go, I'll take you out of that. That was ridiculous, obviously. How about you're an evil cheerleader with a load of other guys from OVW? Apparently Elijah Burke was asked, and he went, no, I don't think I could do the gymnastics. Okay, bye. And then they go, okay, no, fair enough. We'll stop doing that. We'll give you your solo performer. Your name's Dolph Ziggler. Insane that he's still doing so well. Congratulations. So, yes, Ric Flair, Roddy Piper, Kane and Big Show, or John Cena and Shawn Michaels?
Ric Flair, Roddy Piper.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Was it Kane and Big Show?
It was Kane and bloody Big Show.
That was my other one.
They lost them.
Yeah, I remember them feuding with Shawn Michaels and John Cena.
They lost them to Ric Flair and Roddy Piper.
Did they?
Okay, still two.
Was it Shawn Michaels that covered them in poo or something, or was that someone else?
Someone, yeah.
Shawn Michaels covered them.
Oh, yeah, DX put green stuff and poo and.
Green stuff and poo.
So question five, still 2-0 to Phil. How short is Shorty G, though? That's the real question.
Oh, we know this. We know this.
WWE language or in real life?
In whatever it says on Wikipedia when I looked at it.
Adam, it's 5'6".
It's not 5'6".
It is. I've done this as content. It's 5'6".
But that's not what I've got written down.
You know the rules.
Phil, what's your answer?
5'8".
Yay!
No, I need to look this up. I need to look this up.
Wikipedia says 5'8". There you go, Phil. 5'8".
There it is. Wikipedia says, and we all know, Wikipedia is the truth.
He's worked that. Okay. It definitely used to say 5'6", because I'm 5'7", and when I did the video about it, I got to do, like, you know, like, obviously, a lot of guys in wrestling are shorter than me. Nobody's got an inch on me. That's dreadful.
3-0 to Phil at the halfway point. Okay, question 6. Who?
Phil is also 5'7", by the way.
Who?
I'm 5'8". Same height. You're shorty Adam over there.
All right, shorty P.
Who did Santina Marella last eliminate to become Miss WrestleMania? Was it Beth Phoenix, the Bella Twins, Maria, or Mickey James?
Bell. Beth Phoenix, because it's the funniest one.
Yay!
Oh, four questions to go. If you get all four.
I'm crap at losing on a quiz, you know, because once I get a lead, I'm really good at holding the lead. When I get behind, I panic. And I'm like, oh, do I want to answer? Do I let him answer? Do I don't want to waste it. I knew it was Beth Phoenix. I just didn't. And I was like, no, don't. I lost my nerve.
Question 7.
Still time.
How much, according to online...
Also, what's the angle of the screen about, by the way?
He's not looking. You're not looking at
fully, that. Fully 45.
You think I can read that? That's like WWE people watching TV backstage. They can't see that.
How much did Glacier's entrance cost in production costs? In WCW, was it 50 grand, 100 grand, 250 grand, or half a million?
Every time.
I don't know. It
Bell, 250.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Do you hover your finger
I did,
over
that's
there?
What I did. I thought I could
what,
see
what
it.
What are my answers?
50 grand, 100 grand, or half a million dollars.
Who did this quiz?
Me, I wrote it.
You wrote it. So it's one of the middle two. Which one did you say?
250.
So you said the top.
No, he said the third item.
So you said C?
Yeah.
Can I have B then, please?
No, dear, that's
half a million. Is it half a million?
It's half a million.
I knew it was a lot. I edited it in
lasers and smoke and all that bollocks for a knockoff.
Costume and things.
His costume cost about 50 grand as well. question 8. I've been on Cage Match and found a review of a terrible wrestling stable.
Should I say, before you go, can I just commend you? There's not been a single match time question so far.
And there isn't.
It's quite impressive.
Amazing.
He's made me up my game last week after the horse question.
He's made you up your game.
And
after
your reaction.
After I've psychologically abused you. Workplace bullied you about this for 4 years.
And then all it takes is Elgin Neyrico.
Hang on. There we go. So I've been on Cage Match, found a review of a terrible wrestling stable. Who is Rody Kaz II, thanks for this review, talking about here? Perhaps the worst stable in WWE history, and that's saying something. Bunch of goofy-looking jobbers. Wish The Rock had come back and buried them in a segment. Now, that would have been entertaining. Is he talking about 3MB, the League of Nations, the Social Outcasts, or...
Retribution! Or what?
Yeah, it was Retribution. Sorry.
Phil. Retribution.
It's going to be Retribution. Yay! No, I knew it! I didn't say it! I've got none on this quiz.
How many you got so far, Phil?
Five. I
think. Two questions left.
What is it? Is it five nows?
Question 9. Why was Pirate Paul Burchill told to change his gimmick? Legal issues.
He had both his legs? I don't know.
Vince thought it was too far-fetched. Vince really liked the incest angle with his sister. Vince hates pirates. Or Vince had never seen Pirates of the Caribbean.
Ooh.
They're all good. You can't hate pirates because they did that WrestleMania. But then again, oh, no.
I'm really tempted to go with the incest angle because we all know how Vince McMahon loves a bit of incest. But I'm going to go because he hasn't seen Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yay!
Wish I was dead. Wish I was dead.
You'll be pleased to know this is my favourite question that's last.
Okay.
And you got a chance, okay?
Thanks, mate.
This question is capital F, fun. Final question.
God damn it.
Where was Mantor billed from?
Oh, my God.
Was it New Zealand? Crete? Bulgaria or Catalonia.
This is a bait, this. Why are three of these funny and one of them's not?
It's my favourite question.
Why are three of these funny and one of them's not?
Just where was Mantor?
You're trying to make one of us say Malta and it's not.
Crete, not Malta.
You're trying to make one of us say Crete. It's from Athens, the Minotaur, anyway, isn't it?
New Zealand. Crete. Bulgaria or Catalonia.
first coffee crate, isn't it? I need to get one. You can't. Honestly, right? Tell you what's happened to you. You've done this perfectly, right? Because I've got to say Crete now. I've got to say Crete. I've got to say Crete. And if I say Crete, it's wrong. Can you imagine I'm going to get zero on this quiz by missing out New Zealand, Bulgaria, Catalonia, last question? Can you believe you've done this?
Can't believe.
Can you believe you got to the last question and I've got 0 points? And I've got to say it. Final answer, Chris.
You going for it?
Crete.
You're saying Crete?
Yeah, I've got to say Crete, Ella.
Yay!
Yes! Oh, my God.
He was billed from the island of Crete because of Minotaurs, isn't it?
Christ almighty. Oh, I'm sweating bullets here, man.
So there we have it. This has been Wrestle Culture. Congratulations. God, that's so loud. Congratulations to Phil Chambers for winning this week's quiz. You can follow him on Twitter at
PhilMyChambers. And you can follow the loser of today's quiz
at Adam Cleary, CLEY. You can follow Wilborn if you want.
Oh, God, I've had so much fun with this week. You can follow me at Adam Wilborn.
Don't
on
forget
Twitter.
To send him all your sound effects that you want added to the board.
Yeah, we'll definitely add some new ones to that next week. It's been a lot of fun, this, and a massive regret from everyone at What Culture for buying this piece of kit, I suspect. It's taken us back to the good old days of What Culture Quizzes in the Office. Anyway, subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcast from for daily wrestling podcasts, including this weekend, me and the Dadley Boys talking all about the future of Adam Cole in AEW. Daily wrestling podcast, What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from. My thanks to Phil, to Adam, to you for joining us, and we will see you soon. Wrestle Culture is recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Wrestling!
No, dear, that's wrong.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.